We're going to do something a little different, kind of mix our music and the preaching. I'm going to let you sing a message tonight along with me. We're going to look at several things pertaining to an attitude. It helps us to have a good attitude always. And it's easy to have a bad, you can be having a bad attitude and things go normally. And because of the negative things that are going on kind of in the background, your attitude changes and you say something you ought not say, or you have body language perhaps that you ought not have. Attitude is just a state of mind. It's how you're feeling, a disposition. Somebody said something to you and it just lit your fuse. And you think if it had been another day, it would have been different. Maybe I would have taken it differently, but I just didn't like how that came down. I didn't like what that individual said, or how they said it, perhaps. And that's our attitude. The word attitude is used in space travel. If you have something that's orbiting the Earth, and it's moving around the Earth, and it's going in its orbit perfectly, but it's kind of traveling like this, you would say it's pointed in the wrong direction. The capsule's pointed that way and traveling that way, and it goes like this around the globe. You would say, or the astronaut would say, it has an attitude problem. It's referred to as attitude. If you get the nose of the spacecraft pointed in the direction it's traveling, then the attitude is proper. It's called attitude. It's a good illustration for us because the direction that we're going is prescribed by the Bible, isn't it? We ought to be going in that direction, and our mind and our actions ought to be in keeping with that direction that we're going. They ought to be going in that, pointed in that direction as well. We say we're Christians and we want to serve the Lord and we want to do everything that we do for His glory. Well, we can say that we're going that direction, but if our mind and our actions aren't the same, then we have an attitude problem. I know that you understand about attitudes. But I want to ask about, what is your attitude? Your attitude, for instance, toward the world. I want to ask you to look at 1 John chapter 2. We'll just look at a reference for each of these, 6, 7, 8 of them tonight. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. And you already know it, I'm sure. Let's read it together out loud. 1 John 2:15. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So I want to defeat my desire. If I have the right attitude toward the world, I want to defeat my desire for the things of the world, because the things of the world can lead me astray. Now, we have to have some of the things. You have to have money, you have to have home, you have to have clothing, have to have some things, but we can want much more than we need. And the attitude that we need to have with the world, I've heard it described like this: hold on to the things of the world very loosely. Don't grasp them. Hold on to the things of the world very loosely. And if we do that, then we won't love the things of the world. The song asks a pertinent question. Number 390 is "You're All on the Altar of Sacrifice." Now, as we sing these songs, I'm, of course, most concerned about us taking a look at the words and considering the words. We're talking about attitude toward the things of the world. Our attitude toward the things of the world. Chapter 12. Still talking about our attitude toward the world. First of all, we want to defeat our desire for the things of the world. Secondly, we don't want to be packed into its mold. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's read it together out loud. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we don't want to be packed into the world's mold. If we are packed into the world's mold, then we're going to look a lot like the world, aren't we? So my attitude should be, I don't want to hold the things of the world too tightly. And I don't want to be packed into its mold. I don't want to allow myself to adopt its motives and its methods. I need to look different from the world does. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So we want to look different from the world. Rather than becoming more like the world, somewhere in our house, I don't know exactly where, I have my grandmother's butter mold. I may have told you that before. I told you it has a cotton string tied around it. She tied it around there. Still holds amazingly so. And I can remember eating butter out of her butter mold, and it's cracked from one side all the way around to the other. It's two pieces, her butter mold. But she put it together and tied the string around it. She kept using it, and when she did butter, it would have that crack across the top of the butter. It would mold into that mold, and it would show that crack across the top of the butter. That's how it is when we allow ourselves to be conformed to the image of the world. The little things that we think, those are not very becoming to a Christian. I shouldn't have that in my life. But we will if we get too tight with the world, if I can use that word. If we get too close to the world. Rather than becoming more like the world, we should let him have his way with us. If Christ has his way with me, then I won't have my own way with me, nor will anybody else have their way with me. It'll be Christ. So our attitude needs to be toward the world. Hold the things of the world rather loosely, and don't allow yourself to be conformed to the image that the world's looking for. That means we'll be different and proud of it, right? Proud of our difference because we'll be like Christ. What should our attitude be toward the Lord Jesus? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2:5. If you turn there. Attitude. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let's read verses 5 and 6 together. Read it out loud. Here we go. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, keep reading, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. We'll stop right there. The attitude that we have toward Christ is we need to be thinking to ourselves, boy, I'd like to think like the Lord Jesus thinks. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was his mind? My attitude toward Jesus is I need to think like he does. And every believer needs to think like the Lord Jesus. If every believer had a sincere desire to think like Christ, the world would be a different place, wouldn't it? If that was our attitude about him, I need to be like him. Learning to think like the Lord Jesus, well, we'll need some help. How does Jesus think? How would we know how he thinks? Has to be the Word of God, doesn't it? We would have to be in the Word of God. Our attitude toward the Lord Jesus should be that we want to think like him, and we want to be conformed into his image, which I already said. Romans 8:29 says, For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29. Conformed to the image of his Son. I want to think like you, Lord. Can you say that? I want to think like you, Lord. And I want to be like you. I want to be just like the Lord Jesus. That's sanctification. Let's sing a verse or two of number 18. Number 18, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. The hymn writers must have had some of the same ideas that we preach, and they certainly did because they're scriptural. Oh, to be like thee. I want to think like the Lord Jesus. I want to be like the Lord Jesus, be conformed to his image. I'd also like to know him better, wouldn't you? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians 3:10. The Apostle Paul wrote this. Some people marvel that he would write such a thing as what we see here in verse 10 of chapter 3. Philippians 3:10. Let's read that together. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Do you really want to know him better? We like to know him better when it's easy. But what about know him better and in the fellowship of his sufferings? We should count it a privilege when we can suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. There'll be eternal rewards for that. I want to know him better. Be closer to him. Even fellowship in his sufferings. Especially when you consider the fact that he said that he would never leave us. He'll be with us always. So if we suffer for him, he'll be with us in the midst of that. On earth, we barely know our mates when we first get married. Isn't that true? But we get to know them a whole lot better the longer we live together and enjoy each other. Jesus is our spiritual bridegroom. And we should be getting to know the Lord Jesus better and better all of the time. Number 298, can you say that it's your desire, the desire of your heart, to be close to thee, Lord? To know him better, to know him better. How about this? My attitude toward Christ should be I want to follow in his steps. We're called disciples, little Christs. You think of disciples as somebody who's lines up behind Christ and knows and does and thinks what he does. But we're students, pupils of the Lord Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter 2:21. I want to follow in his steps. Let's read it together. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Even in his suffering, there it is again. Following the Lord. You know, hero worship is kind of out of focus in our day. People have all sorts of sports figures and politicians and actors and actresses and all sorts of people, hero worship. Imagine having Jesus Christ to be our hero. Jesus Christ, he's brave, would you say? He's tough, right? He's tough. He's compassionate. He's humble. And on and on and on the list goes. What a greater hero than the Lord Jesus Christ and those who follow him. It's not always easy, though, to walk in the steps of Jesus, is it? To be a follower of Christ. Let's shift gears once again. How do you feel about sinners? What's your attitude toward the unsaved? Well, it should be that we love them, right? We love them with the love of the Lord. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. Matthew 5:45. You're not going to fall asleep tonight, are you? Matthew 5:45. And we'll read two verses, 45 and 46. Read it out loud with me. Verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? It's interesting that we have the capacity to love our enemies. Unsaved people don't love their enemies, but we do. We could to love our enemies. That should be our attitude toward the unsaved, to love them, to desire that they come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Toward sinners, we want to love them. We'd like to win them, as the song says. But 1 Corinthians 9:22, Paul said, to the weak became I as what? The weak. That I might gain the weak, I made all things to all men. Do you remember why? So that by all means, I might save some. We should want them to be saved. It'll be easier to love them if we remember that we were dug from the same pit, don't you think? You look at people, as I get older, the more I realize everybody, people are just people. A man is a man, a woman is a woman. It doesn't matter how they dress and where they live and what color they are, what they like and dislike. And they're just like us, dug from the same pit, as it were. I guess you know that you are only a sinner, right? So if we're going to win them, we'll need to laugh with them when they laugh, right? Even if they're laughing with us or at us. We need to cry with them when they mourn or in pain. We need to hurry when they're in a hurry to try to win the lost. Do what we can. Have the right attitude toward the lost. Lastly, we'll think of our attitude toward the saints, brothers and sisters in Christ. What should it be? I think we should have a desire to fellowship with brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us we should love the brethren, love to fellowship, love to be with them. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Acts 2:42. Fellowship is built on common ground. In the physical realm, we have common ground. That's what makes the golden rule work. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We all like the same things. We like positive strokes, so to speak. In the spiritual realm, we have all things in common, spiritually speaking. All things in common. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of the family of God, isn't it? Desire to fellowship with them. What else should we desire about believers, other believers? Fellowship? Edify? To edify them? Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, the things wherewith one may edify another. Romans 14:19. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. Romans 15 and verse 2. We should be edifying. Edifying means building up. That should be our attitude. When I look at you, I should want to make you more like Christ, to build you up in your strength, in your faith, in the spiritual things, to edify. That should be my attitude toward you. You should see that. What do you think of Pastor Danny? Well, he wants to make me a better Christian. That's what we should think one of another. Always praying that the Lord would make us a blessing when we're with the saints. Our attitude is important, wouldn't you think? How you think about things. How do you think about church? How do you think about the Word of God? How do you think about your mate? How do you think about your children, your neighbors? How do you think about money? Our attitude toward things is important to God. It ought to be important to us. Little exercise tonight with a Bible and a hymn book. I think it's good for us to do that. You can do it on your own. It's actually kind of fun to find a topic that you want to discuss your attitude about and find a song to go along with it. It's a wonderful hymn book that we have. It's got a lot of old hymns with messages just like the ones we've sung tonight pertaining to our attitude. I hope it'll be a blessing as you think about it.